Welcome to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
I'm Sebastian.
And we are late putting this episode out. I apologize for that. I was supposed to be flying back yesterday early afternoon, which was a Sunday. We record usually on Saturday.
From the city with the coolest name in Canada.
And it's not Head Smashed in Buffalo Jump.
No.
Because, I mean, that holds a place in my heart.
That's one of the most interesting names in Canada. But
no, I was in Thunder Bay with a sleeping giant.
Which sounds so much cooler than... I mean, it's a northern community. It's nice.
Mm-hmm. Lots of natural resources industry. And it's, you know, it's really quite something to be there.
Doesn't look like the kind of place you'd name Thunder Bay.
Mm-hmm. Well, apparently they are...
Lightning strike, manifold, boom!
Apparently they did they had a referendum, and it was Thunder Bay...
Uh-huh.
Lakehead, okay. Or the Lakehead.
Ooh.
And apparently the split the Lakehead vote.
Was this recent?
No, it was a while ago.
Okay.
When the two Fort McFook, Fort something or other, and Fort MacArthur, like there were two little towns that, oh my God, it was all explained to me like 2 days ago, but two little towns that merged together to create Thunder Bay.
You're doing a wonderful job.
I know, they're never going to invite me back.
I'm pretty sure that North Bay used to be called St. Marguerite parmi les pins, which is like St. Margaret from among the pines, which mm-hmm. is a pretty normal French-Canadian Saint-someone-from-somewhere village name. North Bay, I don't know. It was renamed by, I don't know, there's some dude in the 1800s that took all the French and native names in Ontario and renamed it to, like, Moscow and Paris and London and all that.
Well, apparently the people voted on Thunder Bay, but because the split the Lakehead vote. The more you know, which is why Lakehead University is the name of the university.
Oh, that
yeah,
that checks out.
You're like, why is it not called Thunder Bay University? It's because it was called the Lakehead first. Yeah. Hmm. The more you know.
Yeah.
Well, I was there recently. I had a great time meeting with some folks. I had a fantastic interview with Jen off of Jen's Bent. She has a radio show. She's been doing it for a long time. She's also one of the singer-songwriters on Outside the Lines. We'll be playing one of their tracks a little later.
Oh,
but Jen,
God,
helped to found...
The picture on this CD is the most rural lesbian thing I have ever seen.
I know, it's pretty out there. And like, this is also very lesbian. It's like artistic interpretations of bodies.
They look like they'd be like really fun to have a beer with.
Oh, they were. They was just fantastic.
Are they beer and chicken wing lesbians?
Absolutely. Oh, actually, you say that on Sunday. On Saturday, we had cider and chicken wings.
Okay.
But it was so close.
Well, because there's, you know, there's the... Everybody knows about the gay categories, like mm-hmm. otters and bears and twinks and all that. That's all over the media. You don't really hear a lot about lesbians. You hear about, like, lipstick lesbians mm-hmm. and, like, butch dykes, and that's about it. But, like, beer and chicken wing is a type of lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
They're very different.
Well, you will hear some of the hilarious interview. At one point, I just lost the thread and we had to jump to a song.
Okay.
And they're like, you're just recording on your phone. And I'm like, I just need a minute to recover. Actually, let's talk about a quick story before we dive into that interview.
Okay.
First of all, shocking news.
Right.
Hungary
uh-huh.
has dropped out of Eurovision.
Well, they don't have a history of winning. So, I mean, for them, Eurovision is more of a hobby. It's not like Sweden or the UK, which just gets to walk in the front door, or France, which has a history of winning as well. Mm. Like, these are places that are invested, even if not in winning, then at least in promoting their national music. Hungary Hungary hasn't caught lightning in a bottle like Moldova has with the sax guy.
So they reckon the Guardian of the UK and MTVA told, or a source at MTVA, which is a public broadcaster, told the Guardian that it was because of just all of the gay stuff that happens at Eurovision.
Okay.
And the rather right-wing Prime Minister, Viktor Orban, in Hungary has been notorious across Europe for the kind of crackdown and pushback against LGBT rights.
Hmm.
So it was alleged that according to sources inside the public broadcaster, that that's the real reason. They never gave a reason. Viktor Orban has said that that's fake news, but also provided no reason.
Okay.
They didn't even just say it's expensive.
Yeah. Now,
there are some really good excuses.
There are very good reasons to not be there.
But no,
yeah.
They provided no excuses.
Like, Greece wasn't in there for like 2 or 3 years on account of, you
having
know,
none of the money.
Bankruptcy. Yeah.
I want to talk about gay animals. So there was a study that got a bit of traction on the New York Times and a few other places. Why are animals gay, Sebastian?
Well, I mean, I have an involved answer, but I would like for you to tell me the official reason before I tear it apart.
Well, I think they've done a great job here, and I think that they're on the money. Essentially, they haven't really done a study looking at all of the animals.
Yeah.
They did note that there are 1,500 species that have same-sex behaviors,
yeah,
as well as different sex behavior.
That's recorded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And essentially what they're saying is, in the world of evolutionary biology,
yeah,
and this is really the crux of what they're saying, in the big old world of science, everyone goes, lions supposed to be doing straight sex to have babies, but they have the gay sex.
Yeah.
Why? This is weird. This is an evolutionary quirk.
Yeah, why didn't
and they're
evolve?
Like, but there's 1,500 species,
yeah,
that all do the same thing. So maybe we shouldn't be assuming that the default is straight, but the default is just sex with whichever's closest, and then move from there. So essentially they're saying that historically the assumption has been that opposite sex attractions in animals is the default and what animals should be doing.
Yeah.
And variations are what are evolutionary quirks.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're saying is really indiscriminate sexual behavior is the default,
yeah,
because they're animals.
Yeah.
Although and we need to be a bit more aware of
in
that.
In biology, there is a technical term for that. And it, and I'm not kidding, this is in the literature. It's simply called choosiness. Biologists are not known for being creative. Yeah, so one of the things that always bothered me is they always talk about, you know, how did it evolve in lions? How did it evolve in humans? How did it evolve in bonobos? How did it evolve in cats and all that? And you go down, you're like, well, if it's in dogs and cats and humans and bats, we're all mammals. So you don't have to say it evolved multiple times. You just say one of the early mammals did it and it just descended from mm-hmm. there. So there you go. You only need to really account for it maybe once, but it's also in birds, and birds are descended from dinosaurs, and that's going way back. So mm-hmm. do you propose a common ancestor? Do alligators have same-sex behavior? If so, because alligators are halfway between dinosaurs and mammals.
Literally dinosaurs. Yeah,
yeah, well, they are literally dinosaurs, but they're one of the bridging species between dinosaurs and mammals. They're obviously more on the dinosaur side, but, you know, baby steps. And if so, then that would be like, okay, well, now you got all of vertebrates, everything with a spinal column may have same-sex behavior of some kind. But to say that all of them are indiscriminate is not 100% true. So here's one of the reasons why homosexuality, why indiscriminate sex is likely to exist. Cognition is one of the most energy-intense things you can do. So laughing, dreaming, and having an orgasm burn more calories per second than any other activity. Okay. If you go jogging for an hour, you will burn as many calories as you do from having a good hearty laugh for 2 minutes straight.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just because the amount of processing that goes on in your brain consumes so much sugar so quickly. Like if you laugh really hard, you know, like, do you feel that dip you get? You get exhausted, and that really is just your brain absorbing all the sugar out of the bloodstream.
You reckon as a diet, people should just go to comedy clubs?
Well, I mean,
how'd you get fat comedians?
So anyway, the point is, processing information is actually very calorie intense. So you see a thing, and then first you have to determine, is it living or dead? Is it my species or not my species? Is it male or female? Is it willing or unwilling? Is it adult or is it juvenile? Is it, you go down the list. Is it attractive or not attractive? Is it responsive or not responsive? This is all the information you need to process before you approach. And even if you choose to ignore that, if you have a thing going on, a bad thing or an odd thing going on about what you are willing to have sex with, still you process that and then ignore it, or you process it differently, but you're still processing it. You need a separate cognitive structure to process information for each of those things. So determining whether or not something is alive or not, that is an entire structure that needs to evolve for being able to determine that. And every time you add something on, you're making it more complicated, you're making it more calorie intense. So you want to keep things as pretty even keeled as possible, which is just, hey, I'm willing, you're willing, hey, let's stick it in. So that is sort of the default. And if you look at bonobos, who are very sexually promiscuous, that is the way to go. There are species that have no observed same-sex behavior. And in each of those cases, they have a very narrow mating period. Mm-hmm. So you get things like there are certain species of duck that only have a penis during mating season. It falls off when mating season is over.
That is an unfortunate duck.
Yeah, but every year they grow a bigger one than the year before.
Oh, okay. So, that's handy.
That's all right. But when you have, like, there's certain species of cat where their mating season is 1.5 days in a year. So indiscriminate sex will not benefit you in that case. You need to be very discriminate if you're of that species. There's certain species of moth that are only fertile for 1.5 hours of their entire life. Like, you need to be really discriminate. But if you're fertile year-round or almost year-round, hey, like, the best thing to do is to just stick it into everything who's willing. And then, let's say only half the time it actually makes a viable pregnancy. Well, it turns out only about 1/4 of the time you have sex does a sperm actually get into an egg and all that. So, really, you're just increasing your chances if you stick it into every hole that is willing.
So really you're saying that these 1,500 species are just playing the odds.
Yeah. So like lions are exclusively heterosexual during mating season, and the rest of the year they just do whatever. Hmm. And mating season when every lion is in heat, they become highly discriminate. But the rest of the year it's a pair bonding thing they call it, which is a very polite way of saying like,
Building intimate friendships,
exactly. So the model for explaining why it happens is not that complicated.
But I think our issue here is, scientists be saying that the default is whatever, opportunism,
yeah.
And then look at it? Or is the default opposite sex and have to study same-sex behaviors? Well, because I think that was the point they were trying to get.
Yeah.
Why have we spent decades and decades and decades studying why each one of these species have exhibited these behaviors? And they're saying, well, maybe the default is just, like you said, whatever's sitting there and willing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the discriminatory ones are the ones that should be examined.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and the reason why they're discriminatory is incredibly easy to explain. Like, there's a cat in China, and it's the same size as a house cat, but it has a weird looking face, and its eyes are circles instead of slits. So imagine a house cat with human eyes. It's kind of weird. But they only mate for 1.5 days out of the year. I can't remember what the species name is, but yeah, they're like a house cat, but they have human eyes. They're creepy to look at, and they're only fertile for about 1.5 days. They're incredibly discriminate. You don't need a model for why they're like that. And otherwise, they're independent. They don't even like each other the rest of the year. So you don't need to explain why there's no same-sex behavior ever, because it's just they hate each other except for when they're horny. And when they do, they're only horny for 1 day. Mm. So, of course, they're going to be extremely discriminate. So it's such an easy model in that case.
So it came up in an odd way.
Also, in the mid-90s, they started saying, who cares? Like this is not a new argument. I think it's just stepping up bit by bit. So like in the mid-90s, it would have been in evolutionary theory journals, and now we're moving our way up the ladder to Nature, which
this was in Nature.
Yeah, Nature is the most prestigious and most difficult to get published in magazine in all of biology. Or journal, well, I should say, but still. It moves up the ladder one more, because science is the most prestigious.
Science.
The more generic and monosyllabic the word, the title of the journal or magazine, the more prestigious it is. So
life. Life magazine is actually quite hard to get into.
Is really hard to get into.
So the president of Zambia.
Okay.
This is related. He's very upset at the United States.
Okay.
Because the United States have said, that the ambassador there is personally horrified that Jafet Chitaba and Stephen Samba are being sentenced for 15 years, jail for 15 years for being in a same-sex relationship. And the president of Zambia said, "We are saying no to homosexuality. Why should we say we are going to be civilized if we allow it?
Mm-hmm.
Are you saying that we're primitive now because we're frowning on homosexuality? Even animals don't do it. So why should we be forced to do it? Because we want to be seen to be smart, civilized, and advanced." And it's just, I mean, I bring it up because, like, apparently the president of Zambia doesn't know that there are 1,500 species.
Even beyond that, anyone who's had dogs and gone to a dog park,
mm-hmm.
you see immediately that dogs are just sniffing every butthole
mm-hmm.
and trying to get it on with anything that doesn't move away from them quickly enough.
They'll get swatted at.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, people's legs are, a viable option for a dog sometimes.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, I bring it up because, I mean, we do follow a lot of the bad news coming out all over the world. And the Zambian case is quite something, but the ambassador there was a bit, like I said, personally horrified. And Zambia is saying it's going to have a falling out with the United States. Because the United States isn't a big fan of the fact that they've just, like, arrested people for just being in a relationship on the counsel of just being gay. I really don't want to be the guy that tells the president of Zambia that there are 1,500 species that have exhibited.
Again. So
maybe we should just forward him the Nature journal article.
That's the number of recorded species.
I imagine it may well
There's probably 1,500 species of, like, ferret.
I don't know if there are 1,500 species.
Like ferrets and weasels and marmots.
Well, we're going to jump to...
All together. There's probably a lot.
So this is... I'm gonna switch over now to my conversation with Jen in Thunder Bay. Then we'll play a couple of songs. The interviews are in two parts. And then we'll be back just after this interview in Thunder Bay. All right, I'm here in Thunder Bay. My hand hurts from clapping.
Are you okay, little guy?
That was overly, like, ambitious a clap.
It's very exciting in Thunder Bay.
Yes, and I'm here with Jen of Jen's Bent, one of the shows on CILU, Lakehead University's campus radio station.
Campus and Community Radio.
Campus and Community. You say that, but Campus and Community does not exist as a license. It's one or the other.
Oh,
but
I don't know anything about legal stuff, brother.
That's the paper.
I know the community holds us up, though.
That they do, and they're so important. And, you know, we've been jibber-jabbering all night, and I kind of want to touch on a couple of things. What's life like as a lesbian out in Thunder Bay?
Very common, oddly yeah. enough. Yeah.
Yeah. Is there a lot of you here? Gathering clusters?
I think that they've always been here long before there was a concern about who was what. Women tend to like being in the bush. There's a lot of stereotypes attached to my response. Literally, quite literally, the lesbians like to be in the bush. Are you listening?
I am.
Welcome to Thunder Bay. Okay, so it's a fact. So you might as well just deal with nature and be in the bush if you're mm-hmm. a lesbian. But no, the lesbians like to cut the wood and own their own land. And it's not hard to do up here. I was involved in campus culture starting 30 years ago at Lakehead University up here and did a lot of work on campus before I was about radio life and why you're talking to me today. But in the queer community, in the gay community, whatever anybody identifies as, it's always gone in a lot of directions. But I found, especially back all those years, that a lot of women were really comfortable here because there wasn't that city culture and they weren't looking for that. They were literally having potlucks and owning land and taking care of cutting the wood for the winter, and everybody would gather and help everybody, and just like any good barn raising community would. But women tend to help each other, especially once they identify. But it almost meant that unless you got plucked up by one of the elders and found out about their mystical world out in the country, that you were a bunch of campus queers finding each other and just doing whatever you could figure out to do. It's not like there was something to do in the city,
you know.
But men tend to run away because when they were coming out, they wanted that. I want to go to a nightclub. I want to figure out who I am. I want a different pace of trying to figure it out than tending to be the women's experience, right?
Was the violence different? Because if there's a gay man that looks like a gay man from 30 paces, they don't always have the best of times.
Right.
But maybe this is just me, but when you were describing women coming out here to kind of just like chop the wood and live in the bush, it made me think of
that. Or they were already here and didn't run away.
It makes me think of that scene in Lord of the Rings where Gimli's talking about the dwarves.
All right.
And how they, the women dwarves.
I'm more like a fairy, but whatever works but for you.
The women dwarves, they can't tell which ones unless you can find the ones without the beards. Like, that's, they just burly.
If you look at the gnomes, the gnomes might
not
have
to
beards.
Call lesbians in Thunder Bay dwarves, but it's the idea of, like,
I'm
maybe.
I'm a little dwarfy. I'm not the tallest.
Maybe the women here were more appeared more socially acceptable than effeminate gay men. Like,
well,
you
that's,
know, if you're built for,
typical,
if you're
not
built for the
rugby right?
environment, if you look like a, I mean, you're, right now you're wearing what do you call those?
Oh, those V Carhartts.
No.
Carpenter's overalls.
That's the one.
Happy. They're play pants.
Dungarees. Dungarees. No.
Play pants. That's what I call them.
Okay, but you know. It's easier maybe to fit in if you look like
well, my entire
salt
life
of the earth
personally,
types.
Even yeah. A lot of my life, even in my youth, in high school, growing up in Southern Ontario, coming up here as a university student, I had hair down to my arse, my tush. Mm-hmm. I'll leave something for you to edit here. My backside. It was my behind part where stuff goes down to, but you can't see it behind.
Mm-hmm.
Hair.
From your head?
You know, growing long, hippie hair. I always had hair. I always had a lot of hair. I have very short hair now. It's actually out of hand. Mm-hmm. I'm usually buzzy like my missus over there. But even with those stereotypical, obviously, female characteristics, and I'm not shy in the chest area, no matter how masculine I've ever been.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow people think breast obsessed is out there, but my whole life I've been mistaken for a guy for some reason. Even in that state of long, long hair and not trying to hide anything. And
mm-hmm.
I was on a beach in Peru 7 years ago and I was wearing a tank top, but I was with two gay male friends and somebody assumed the three of us were brothers.
Wow.
And I didn't speak Spanish, so I missed the whole conversation. My buddies were laughing their butts off, but I was like, Señor Metcalf, you'll have to come back to the front desk. It's like, all right, I'll be right there. Señor? Can I just put Jennifer on that? Whichever. Jeez. So yeah, it's gender's always been a big blur for me, but I've always enjoyed it quite thoroughly. So.
I mean, just maybe to circle back, that is, have you found that is Thunder Bay or was Thunder Bay more historically a place that is more or less comfortable for women to live in than like gay women than necessarily gay men?
Well, my big reference with that kind of line of comment was the student age guys would tend to want to run away because they really didn't feel safe in residence. They were getting picked on if they were a bit effeminate. Like the crap was still out there, right? It's probably less present now, but I'm not there. I don't know that.
Mm.
But I found that a lot of the younger guys were running away for lives in the big city, like trying Toronto out, trying because they couldn't find themselves here. Whereas we're not necessarily as a stereotype looking for that same thing to find ourselves.
Yeah.
In a different, it's a bit weird to say, but it sort of makes sense. And I saw the culture of it. Like women weren't running as hard away, but not necessarily craving the same thing to see a mirror and identify themselves.
You know, I am
or maybe
all
more
for...
welcomed by women. Maybe there's, you know, like women don't push you away as much as masculinity is typically threatened. So maybe gay youth couldn't find a place to fit here as easily. Women just nurture. So maybe we just found community easier.
Yeah. I think the lesbian potlucks and how...
Oh, you've heard of them?
I have. It may have come up.
You know, that's a culture.
It is. And
it's about food.
And I think it's about building community. And I think that, you know, going to the gay bar and, you know, some of the sort of things that are that gay men do, they're not really conducive to making friends. You know, if you're going to a leather bar, you're not there to make your best pal.
There's dark space, there's pumping music.
Lots of shadows, an insane amount of share. That's
a way to try something and figure yourself out too, maybe.
Yeah, but it's not quite the chilling with a beer over a campfire. And, you know, it's a different atmosphere.
Doing harmony with guitars.
Absolutely. Oh, it's just so many guitars. I mean, that's... What's the lesbian to guitar ratio that you aim for at a potluck?
I don't actually know that. Do you guys know that number?
If another lesbian shows up to the guitar, do you have to tell them to leave it in the car? Because you've hit
all
your quota?
There's always room for more.
I'm sorry, it's tambourines only at this point.
Only chicken shaking eggs. There's no room in this place. Only so many guitars can fit in a circle, especially if somebody's left-handed. And you're just, that's the end of that. That's like, who invited the lefty? Right? You hear what I'm saying? That doesn't make the circle work.
No.
Hey, don't you agree with me? You guys are going to get in trouble for what I'm saying. Go ahead, Luke.
So actually, I need a short minute here to compose myself.
This is live radio. We're gonna pause.
We're gonna jump to a song. We're gonna play.
Can I go get a drink?
The lesbian song you told me about earlier.
Lesbian
code. What's that? Alex
Dobkin.
And the song is
Lesbian Code.
And we'll be back just after this.
She's a BD, baby dyke. She's a PD, possible, probable. She's a DD, yeah, she's a definite dyke. She's a POU, positively one of us. She's got high LP, good potential. Suffering from PLT, pre-lesbian tension. It's a terrible thing to watch. She's a wannabe, a D-O-T. Well, if she can't be a dyke of today, she can be a dyke of tomorrow. Then she'll be a D-I-T, a dyke in training, or an FDA. Future dyke of America, she'll be a Betty, a friend of Dorothy. She'll be our kind, that's okay. Lesbian code. Is she Lithuanian? I know. Is she Lebanese? Well, she's gifted. She's Labesian, lesbonic, and I happen to know she's a vegetarian. She's a member of the team. She's a member of the lodge of the family. She's a member of the church, of the club, of the committee, and she sings in the choir. Is she a lima bean from Kentucky? Or is she a green new bean? Or is she refried? Is she a canned bean in the closet? Or is she now with a man? Then she's a has-been. No, she's a Frisbean in Fresno. In Lansing, 48912. She lives in Dyke Heights. She's an Arkansas Earth Dyke, Motor City Dyke. It goes to the pagoda with the Chinese. You bet she colors outside the lines in Charlotte. We leave dead lesbian code. Is she an Aussie Dyke? Check it out. What do you reckon? She's a likely one, Spotto. Gotta be. Ah, she looks a bit sus. She must be of the faith. I'll put her on lay-by. She's a lesbian from New Zealand. She's compass from Aotearoa, kiwi fruit. You can spot the bus driver, spot the camp girl. She's on the bike. Campers are all tense. She's a how's your mother over in Dublin. She's a whatever you're having in Belfast and Cork. She's a queer girl, a lash, got a glad eye, got a kick in her. She drinks Tipperary water. A wee, wee, dead lesbian code. She's the Church of England. She's ginger. She's got Dutch boy fingers. She's an M.O.T., a member of the tribe. She's a gold star, got her ID card, and she shops at Tesco's. A sister of the Inclination. She's elite in Scotland, a high zap. She's all right, that's 100 points. Is she a carpenter from Bristol? Is she a bus driver from Nottingham? Is she a motor dyke? Is she a badgy dyke? Does she live in the dyke area? Then she's a Frisbean in Fresno. In Lansing, 48912, she lives in Dyke Heights, sort of like 2040. Dyke Heart. She's an Arkansas Earth Dyke, Motor City Dyke. It goes to the pagoda with the Chinese, you bet. She colors outside the lines in Charlotte. We lead that lesbian code. We lead that lesbian code. She's a lemon. She's a leso. We lead that lesbian. She's a big one. She's a bowler. She wears sensible shoes. A lesbian code. D-L and D-R. Dyke to the left, dyke to the right. Lesbian code. He got out from Israel.
Back.
She's like that.
I've composed myself.
Hello.
Since the last conversation we had. You know, it's funny because At the end of the year, we were going to do a compilation of sound checks. So when we're doing sound checks, so we would, you know, it's me and Sebastian where we're trying to get the mics working and we're just jibber jabbering so I can test levels. Nice. And we're just taking all of those, saving those to make like just a random rambling sound check special
like
copy.
It.
So your whole clapping will be in there.
Oh.
Now, I'm still here with Jen and company, it's what a great conversation we've been having. We talked a little bit about kind of historically in the safety, and I don't want to dwell too much on that because folks listening would know that, you know, Thunder Bay is 100,000 people. It's
yep.
very much a working town. Natural resources, a major industry here.
Yep.
A lot of hunters and fishermen and you know, so on.
But you know what? There's also a really isolated arts community who can afford their life here.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an amazing, like, bizarre patchwork quilt of culture up here.
But it's always historically being this beating industrial
absolutely
heart.
That's the history, other yep. than, you know, more deep history and deeper roots that we should acknowledge.
Mm-hmm.
But why the way we know Thunder Bay right now is here.
Yeah.
We're the head of the Great Lakes. Thunder Bay was always called the Lakehead traditionally, literally because of the Great Lakes system. You transition from shipping from the St. Lawrence Seaway to now we go road or rail from here and go west in Canada.
Yeah.
So like Thunder Bay historically was a port city, was the head of the lakes.
I did not know that.
It's
but I wanted to talk about sort of where we are now. I was speaking with somebody at CILU.
We're at my house, Luke.
And okay. Phew, I was lost
are
for
you
a moment.
Right? Okay. You're still in the same.
I'm also cut off at this point. I was talking to somebody at the radio station, and they said that they were walking down the street with a friend of theirs at the Pride Center, which you helped to found not so long ago.
When dinosaurs roamed the planet.
I mean,
thank you for that. The doors opened at Pride Central and Lake University's campus in 1995 in the spring. So
nice. And
that's a long time ago.
So this individual who's at the Pride Center now is trans-identified, and they were walking.
Oh, you did get down there.
I was told about this incident.
Okay, I'm sorry.
And they were walking together with this individual I met at the station, and somebody driving by in a truck yells the defamatory F word out the window.
Seriously?
You know, and that's
so we're still there.
That's recent. But on the one hand, you have this. And, you know, it's sad to hear, but on the other hand, there's new sidewalks going up. Now, our show has a history with sidewalks. I love a good mural, personally.
There's so many songs about sidewalks.
And I think murals, personally, should be the way to go, but sidewalks mean something. And for you, and here in Thunder Bay, what's the point of having a rainbow sidewalk?
Oh, well, for anybody, it's a sign of inclusion and supporting our community. So the fact that the Thunder Pride Committee went to City Hall and asked for support, but also came with the pitch that they would raise half the funds to make it happen in the city infrastructure, where in theory, that's a city duty to paint the roads and do all that. But Thunder Pride stepped up to set precedent and said, look, we'll raise half the money. But it's a trans crosswalk and a rainbow crosswalk that they're going for, a really key art zone in the city where a lot of the Pride events have started happening. Last year, the big Pride Festival sort of stage and stuff after the parade all happened down in what we call the Bay and Algoma District. And that's where the sidewalks are destined to be installed by 2020, which is very exciting. But it's inclusion. It's your community saying we all belong. And that's mm-hmm. a big warm blanket for anyone. For kids to know they're not alone is the biggest message always. And we're in a very noisy world right now mm-hmm. with a lot of information flying by in the cyber world. And when your foot is just on the sidewalk and you're in your community and you know you matter as much as everybody else walking across the road, it's a really nice message.
I was visiting Whitehorse in the Yukon.
Right.
And you can't get more out there, really. I mean, we also then went to Dawson, and Dawson City is actually more out there.
Right.
Than. But, you know, Whitehorse is pretty, it's a stretch to get to. And
but again, a great arts community.
Absolutely. And right downtown,
isolation
trans
seems to
flag
bring intelligence, don't you think?
And rainbow flag, right there in the middle of day.
Awesome.
And for me, it was like, wow, you know, this is a community. I'm just a traveler passing through.
Yep, but it probably put a little light bulb in your
head. It did. And I was like, this is nice. I can walk a little bit more safely.
I'm in an inclusive city.
In the street.
Well, Thunder Bay will also, thanks to the work of Thunder Pride Committee and the chair, presently has been doing a ton of work, Jason Veltri, up here in Thunder Bay. Thunder Pride is the citywide celebration. They've also worked really hard and won the rights to host Canada Fierté 2021 here in Thunder Bay, which is a massive conference, a national conference that's going to come our way. So part of the Rainbow Sidewalks are making sure our city is welcoming when that really awesome event is coming our way. That's a cultural event just like anything else is. That's economics for our city. That's real stuff coming out of our culture. It's like, put a wet blanket on us or you can welcome everybody and make everybody feel equal. And
I mean, for the sake of our listeners, the Fierté Canada Pride National Conference brings together pride organizers.
Right.
And what was really quite fascinating about Canada is there are, they estimate about 1,100 pride festivals. There were last year, 1,100 pride festivals across the world, and 110 of them are in Canada. 10% of all prides in Canada. How fantastic is that?
Well, and the cool thing for Thunder Bay is next year, the 2020 year, I mean, Thunder Pride Week, the festival week with a lot of events from literary to drag shows to breakfast, awareness breakfast, to
booming drag show scene here, actually.
There really
is.
I'm not very involved. I shouldn't speak much to it, but it's definitely been evolving for years and strengthening itself, and they have a presence, and people keep coming. And that's also something for the youth to reach for, right?
We've talked on our show about Hamilton Pride. That was a big topic this summer. That's the one where there was the hate protesters that... there was some violence there, and the police reaction was called into question, and they've been working to resolve that. I just remember reading today, I think Truro is now getting its own pride, so it's pretty exciting.
We have in the far north here, actually, in the last few years, both Dryden and Kenora, Ontario, have their own pride parades and celebrations now. That's so huge. Those are tiny communities.
My question for you, what does pride look like in Thunder Bay? Is it a little, is it a gathering, a barbecue,
in
a community picnic?
It's massive now. It's a week and a half full of events and lead-up events before that, fundraisers, awareness events. We have a breakfast, usually starts off early in the week. There's a smudge-in, there's opening ceremonies, there's a literary event night, there's a night of healing that happens in remembrance. The Pride Parade has become large over a lot of years now. The whole Thunder Pride celebration, we started with something called Pride in the Park that was a music festival.
Nice.
Now that's actually become a street festival last year, and we had a great musical stage and everything, but down in that bay in Algoma District instead of the waterfront. But there's been all kinds of that culture that's present too. What else goes on? Obviously, drag shows are part of it. That's a definite part. There's been church services at the end of the week. They're an inclusive place each year. We'll host a service that welcomes the whole community and speaks to pride. And
there's a lot of diversity. I was hearing about the largest Finnish community outside of Finland,
because our geography is very similar.
A lot of
and
Italians.
And in Minnesota, that's the whole stretch around Lake Superior, the Finnish.
They all
Italians are up
stopped here.
Too.
The
forests are very similar, and they knew what they were doing. The climate, apparently, to Finland.
So I mean, the reason why I bring this up is, I love a good pride picnic. I think those are really where people just
hang out. That was
sort
of Pride in the Park community partners, lots of events, lots of people.
By the sound, it's building and expanding and is now a bit more.
Marketplace is part of that day. So the local entrepreneurs who want to come show their arts and crafts, their wares, the businesses they've started up, they're all present. Community partners, supporters, sponsors, they're all there.
So maybe to wrap up then, because we've talked about, the history here. And
did I mention I'm gay?
That's, well, you did say you were bent at the start, so
that's right. Okay. Never mind, go ahead.
The, Thunder Bay, like a lot of other communities.
Did you say Thunder Gay?
It should be.
There used to be Thunder Gay magazine in the city way back.
That would be.
There was. It was a TV broadcast on closed circuit in Thunder Bay. Shaw came. It's true.
Thunder Bay, like all other small towns, would have started off with people struggling and fighting against some of that violence and the oppression that exists, and some of it maybe still exists now, but
unfortunately,
are you hopeful that we're heading in the right direction here, and that these sidewalks are a pretty good sign that things are moving forward?
The sidewalks are a symbolic thing, and I'm not going to put any negative energy into wondering what the backlash will be, because I've already seen the conversations and the fear coming up before they got approved, and they don't exist yet. So we'll see how Thunder Bay embraces this when it actually exists. But we're all going to be there with smiling faces to greet it. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. We have our own Pride, Thunder Pride flag, and an obvious and a trans flag gets raised at City Hall every year. That's pretty awesome. So it's not just our culture and all of a sudden we're in the city's face every year. We've been present year round. Mm-hmm. I'm not taking credit for any of this work. I was on the founding committee for Thunder Pride, but I'm not currently on a committee. And there's a lot of people doing a lot of beautiful work out there, though. And I
But you've
that.
Been doing this for a long time.
I'm not new. I'm a lesbian dinosaur. You know what they call us, eh?
The dinosaurs?
Lesbian dinosaurs.
Or lesbians?
Lickalotopus. Got another one? what's your favorite form of joinery when you're a lesbian carpenter?
I
Tongue and groove, buddy.
Oh,
come
geez.
On! You didn't hit stop yet.
I think tongue and groove might be the note that we end on.
It depends on what song you're gonna play. That may be very risque.
Well, I was gonna go for Here to Stay.
That's a great idea.
Which is actually a track written and performed by yourself in your band, which is
Outside the Lines.
Outside the Lines.
That's actually been a duo with my buddy Lena Gray and I. We've been out in the city for 30 years making music and being a little fearless, and I think that's probably...
Well, we'll be playing more of these in the coming years, in the coming weeks, as we are now big fans. This is Here to Stay by Outside the Lines, and we'll be back just after this.
Thanks. We'll be right back.
and welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. That was a hilarious interview that I did with Jen from Jen's Bent. Now, I want to talk about something not particularly hilarious.
Can we try to find a way? Or is that inappropriate?
To make it hilarious? Yeah. No.
Making something hilarious is most appropriate because life is hard and we're all going to die, so may as well.
So,
try to make light of
it. In North London in late May,
okay,
Melania Gaymonat and Christine Hannigan were pummeled to and beaten up in a violent homophobic and misogynist attack.
This was the attack on the bus, right?
This was the attack on the bus, the N31 bus in North London. And it was on video because most buses have cameras. The teens, 15, so 16, and 17. Yeah, there was a lot of people on this. They've pled guilty to Public Order Act and other offences. So that's just... Some people may have heard about...
16 and 17, they're just going to get an ASBO.
I don't think they do ASBOs anymore.
Okay, good.
Yeah, they rolled those out.
ASBOs are... It was such a... political nightmare. First time I had it explained to me what it is, it just seemed like, what about civil liberties? This is terrible.
Well, ASBO is antisocial behavioral orders.
Yeah, it's when you do
something. It's like conscripted community service.
You do something bad, but it's not really illegal. But, you know, some judge just didn't like the fact that you did it, or they don't feel like convicting you even though you did do a crime. So they're just going to force you into community service. And there's something about that. It's like you committed a crime or you didn't commit a crime. What is this tepid judicial... Anyway, I'm glad that's over.
Well, it was an alternative dispute method. So instead of people facing jail time or huge fines for misdemeanors, they were giving behavioral orders. So, for example, if you kept banging on your neighbor's wall, you know, and caused disputes that way, they would have a behavioral order being like, stop banging on the wall. And you would be given the option to stop. And then, obviously, if you breach the antisocial behavioral order, then you would be facing...
I think it's one of those issues...
It was that intermediary step.
I think it's one of those issues of, like, intention versus execution, because I've read a lot that, like, the way that the ASBOs were actually implemented was a massive civil liberties problem. I mean, I could... On paper, it reads, like, not a bad idea, but I don't know. Anyway, so, yeah, these two youths... Wait.
Three of them. Yeah, 15, 16, 17.
Okay.
They are, according to what we can find, they're still in the court process, okay, but they have all three pled guilty. They're trying to find out if it was a hate crime or not in the UK. In Canada, 406 letters have been sent out.
I'm sure still, more than that have been sent
I
out.
I mean, in relation to what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
And that is from the Department of Defense. So they are personalized letters to 406. There's another 26 maybe on the way. To former members of the military and armed forces. There are individual apologies for how they were forced out on accounts of being gay. So you may recall a few years ago there was the big apology at Parliament with Trudeau. And there has been... We spoke to the purge victims in the Pride Parade, and it was a big deal that they were marching alongside the armed forces. And now, as part of the reconciliation process... they have been issued individual apologies, apologizing for the regrettable segment in the history of the nation. It's been signed by the chief of the defense staff, and an acknowledgement that the armed forces had done wrong in forcing out people from the armed forces just for
Did they their include in that nicely worded letter a check including all their back pay?
So that is separate. So there is a separate lawsuit between purge victims and the Canadian government, which was settled, and there was a settlement agreement.
Okay.
I don't know off the top of my head what it works out per person, but you can reach out to, there is a specific line. I'll look it up and see if we can put it on our website. But there is a specific lawsuit and agreement that came out from that. And the government did cough up money to resolve it.
Okay.
So that happened. Yeah, there's all kinds of other little news, but let me see how much what we're looking at here on the time. We're looking a bit close to the end of time here.
Whoa!
I know. Yeah, we've.
You mean time on the show?
Oh, you mean no? I don't mean like time as a construct.
Okay.
We're not reaching the end of the existence of
time.
I mean,
if you want to hear something that'll really blow your mind, the way the math works out, there was no such thing as t equals zero. There was no beginning of the universe. You can't dial back the clock and get back to the beginning of time. It's not a tractable concept. Completely separate. I'm just letting you know.
I'm going to just not deal with that right now. Yeah. We have Mary Lambert's She Keeps Me Warm playing out. I've been Luke Smith.
And I have been Sebastian. And thank you for listening.
She says I smell like safety and home. I named both of her eyes forever and please don't go. I could be your morning sunrise all the time, yeah. This could be good, this could be good. I can't change, even if I try, even if I wanted to. So good together. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can't change, even if I try, even if I wanted to. I can't change, even if I try. She keeps me warm. She keeps me warm.